Jim Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Good to visit with Jim Campbell, who hails from Joy, teacher in the Riverdale School District and a Scholastic Bowl coach, a long tenure in that extracurricular activity, reaching a great milestone earlier this week, 700 wins. Well, first up, congratulations, Coach Campbell. So you remember the 700th win.
Yeah.
How vividly do you remember win number one back when it all started?
Not that vividly. I do remember taking over a program that had a coach that didn't want to be part of it. And so I had been overheard talking to somebody saying that I was involved in a high school version of that called Exercise and Knowledge in Indianapolis, Indiana. And you can see the principal's ears perk up, and then he asked me to take it over, and I said, sure, I'll do that. It was a slow start. I do remember that, but I don't remember the first win. But we did eventually win conference over there, so I had a fairly successful tenure there.
How many years ago did it begin? So it was the first year of James Campbell Scholastic Bowl coach.
It was 1982, I believe it was.
1982, yeah. My goodness. So I'm going to quickly do my Hampton Elementary School math and say, Coach, that's been 40 years. Does it feel like it's been that long?
Yes, it does. I've been at it a long time, and I've been off and on. In fact, when I moved from the school where I started to over here at Westmer, I did not start coaching because we had Norma Gullickson coaching at the time. So I did a lot of moderating for the tournaments around here, and then I did the state tournament for both Masonic and IHSA. So I didn't stay out of the loop, but I did take over for Norma about 90, 91, somewhere around there. And that's when things really started falling into place for me.
Yeah. So why do you dig it, man? What's your connection? And if you're doing it and been around it for 40 years, you know, there's work that is involved in it and a lot of bus rides. I know that can be aggravating. And I saw the great post you had on your social media account about, getting back late on a bus ride and then turning around and having to go to school and get up early the next day. But
yeah,
beyond all that, you love it, right? I mean, if you're doing it for that long, you love it. So why?
Yeah.
What's the connection for Jim Campbell there?
Well, the connection for me is I'm a natural born competitor, first of all, I'm a preacher's kid who moved around from town to town to town to town. I had 20 different addresses the first 21 years of my life, and so it was if I wanted to fit in, I had to let people know that I was not the preacher's kid only in school, that I had skills in very different areas. I love sports. I love showing off how much I knew. I was a bit of a egomaniac when I was a kid. And I knew that if people wanted to get to know me in a short amount of time that I was going to be living there, they're going to have to find out some stuff about me. And I was not afraid to share it. So why Scholastic Bowl? Scholastic Bowl is just one of those things that, it's an activity that if things go the way that they can go and should go, it is constant tension throughout the entire match. If you're playing another team that is as good as yours, it to me, it's as good as a basketball game or tennis match or, anything that I've coached, basketball, softball, volleyball, they all have their moments. But to me, Scholastic Bowl is more intense because the tension level stays high through the whole way. The amount of momentum that you see in a game in sports can certainly make a huge difference, and Scholastic Bowl is no different. So I thrived on playing as a kid. And I thrived as a coach, and it's particularly gotten better since the internet has really kicked into high gear, because now we have a lot more tools to teach with. And as students change, You can still adapt the training for these kids in the ways that they learn. And where it was not possible for that to happen in the early stages when we had no internet to work with.
All right. So, you know, you look to this week where you pick up your 700th coaching victory in doing this. You know, mm-hmm. just that's such a great milestone. What was your like reaction to, you know, when you reach those type of numbers, you can, you know, and you know that you're closer to the end of the career than at the beginning of the career. I know you love doing it, but when you've done it for 40 years, there's got to be, you know, you see the end basically of your tenure is near. But have you been reflective like doing this and say, man, I've been doing it this long, and man, what a good ride I've been on.
Well, I actually had an exit plan developed, and it looked like it was going to happen. Like maybe in the next year or two, I had an assistant coach who used to play on a team that I coached against at the Three Rivers Conference. Had a really good future as a coach, and it still does for that matter. But I had employees to take over a lot of my duties. I wasn't going to take any pay this year. I was going to let him take over the program, still coach JV and learn. Well, I just, you know, stayed with the varsity team, but I didn't have to do a lot of the nonsense that comes with it. And he up and took a job at Princeton, which is where he's from originally. So my exit plan got changed. Then I went and took, now that I had to coach both JV and varsity again, I took the JV team over to Ronan Benson for a really high-powered tournament. And darned if these kids didn't win it. And I was more than a little surprised. I knew they were capable of it, but they were really green, and I didn't think they were quite ready for that level. And I said, oh, well, maybe this could be the right team that I retire on, because I'm planning now on retiring from teaching in 2025, and that's when they'll be seniors. So I said, okay, I can do this. So when I get that 700th win, and that feels really, really, really good, and that's why I had the comment in the long bus trip, is it worth it? Yeah, it's worth it, because the jolt I get of seeing the future of kids and their potential being realized is so exciting. It really gets me going. And so I can't wait for the next 3 years to happen.
Well, that's great to hear. So that's the exit strategy. But you've had a great program at Riverdale. There's no question about that. I mean, you're a traditional winner over there, and you've really kind of built a great program. What are the key ingredients to making this Scholastic Bowl thing work? Because most people will sit out there and say, Taylor, well, it takes smart kids, you know?
Well,
but there's more to it than that.
Yeah. When I was here at Westmer, right across the street from where I live, their program, you know, they tried real hard and everything, but my years of experience in the previous school and the moderating I saw gave me a lot of ideas. And if you can get kids fired up, I mean, really fired up about any program, not just, you know, my Scholastic program, basketball, whatever, they'll do anything for you. And I actually got a regional title at Westmer. Most people don't realize, because you don't hear anything coming out of Westmer when you have the big boys in Lido, but we were really, really good. And I think we could have gone to state that year had not one of my players had to have an interview in Chicago. And we lost in the sectionals by 10 points. And so we were one step away from going to the state tournament. So it's nice to have smart kids. In fact, I remember my brother had a motorcycle, and he would take it to the shop all the time because it was a British bike, so it was always falling apart. And there was a sign in the store or the shop that said, you can make junk out of a Cadillac, but you can't make Cadillac out of junk. And that really sticks with me. The Cadillac part of the kids is not necessarily how much they know, is how excited they are to show off what they know and not being afraid to make mistakes. This is not a sport for perfectionists. if a perfectionist gets on a team like this, they tend not to do very well because they're afraid to make a mistake and look bad in front of others. If you got kids like me who didn't care if the ego gets bruised because you made a dumb mistake or a mistake that you should have known, but I crave more, those are the kind of kids I want. So I try to get the kids to be as enthusiastic as I am. So every practice, I'm totally into it, and I, you know, pretty much demand those kids be just as into it as I am. And that infectious part of my personality, I think, does more. But with the internet now, we're able to dive into material much, much deeper than we had before. And I think that's really the big difference right now, is how much is available, how much the kids want to work at it, and how much the kids love doing what they're doing. And that, to me, has been the key to my success over the last 20, 25 years.
Well, I know, you know, if you talk about, like, fan attendance at Scholastic Bowl, you know, it's not like mm-hmm. a basketball or football game. I get that. So as people are talking, as we're talking and they're, you know, listening to this conversation about Scholastic Bowl, I'm sure some people have their impressions of what it is, but then some yeah. people also have their impressions of they think what it is, but what they think it is, it's what it's not, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
What's the big misconception you think about SCO Bowl, as they call it?
Yeah, that's funny you should ask that question, because I was working out at the Y a couple of days ago, and I ran into a parent of a former Aledo player, or a Mercer County player, I guess now, the old fogey me here. And he was talking about how his kid really loved it as well. And he said, I actually went to a game. I had never been to a game before, he said. And I went, and I fell in love with it. And I think if people are actually going to show up and not worry about whether they know the answers to a question or not, but get into the tension in the room, they would love it. But yeah, the misconception is, oh, you got a bunch of nerds over there and they're going to do nerdy things and say nerdy things. And yes and no, that's true and not true at the same time, because these kids are so diverse in their knowledge. And the IHSA, that developed their portion of this class, well, there's actually two portions, but the IHSA, when they developed their portion, had a set, guidelines as to what kinds of questions should be asked, what areas. It's specifically laid out in the bylaws. And so it's supposed to mirror the high school curriculum, which is true until you get to the state. And then it's like master's program question. We look at each other like, what are they talking about? But it is stuff that many people can identify with, because if they've been in high school, they've heard these kinds of questions before. What they marvel at is how the kids can know something that you think, that's my kid. How in the world does my kid know that? And then turn around and the kids miss a question that us old fogies knew right away. It's like usually like an old TV class question. They're going, these kids are stupid. They don't know anything. So you have that dichotomy going on in these things. And it's really kind of fun. The audience gets into it. In fact, I'm lucky because the Riverdale parents support this so much. We have the biggest crowds of all the crowds wherever we go. And when I've taken a number of teams to state, we've been to the IHSA state five times, and the Masonic state, which is the other portion of the Scholastic Bowl competition, seven times. And we've been to 12 state tournaments. And the crowds are always the largest of all the schools, always is. And so the parents have learned how much fun these competitions are. And I used to coach junior high as well over at Riverdale. And I did that for about 8 or 9 years before I realized that I was just killing myself. But that made a big difference, too, because the parents then could see, as these kids got better and better and better and better trained, that this is a fun event. And I think if people just gave it a chance, just came to a couple of meets, I mean, Mercer County's program is always good. Kyle Koresko does a great job with these kids. And I think they'd be fascinated by what their kids are capable of doing.
Yeah, that's great. And I agree. And I've been to a few of them. And, I've stopped down and been to a few practices. We like to get Scholastic Bowl kids on our high school spotlight program. They're always great to talk with. But you bring up the – you know, I think it's great. I'm really pro of the IHSA, you know, offering state mm-hmm. tournament series in activities beyond, you know, the normal scope of basketball,
right.
football, volleyball. Right. And I applaud the IHSA. You know, I know that they're adding the esports state tournament series this year. And, you know, you hear the there'll be some old fogies out there. Well, what are they doing that? Yeah, that for? Yeah. Well, because it takes a real skill to play esports the way these people play esports, these kids. And that's what our society is now. So I like that they're giving that opportunity maybe for the non-traditional, or I should say, you know, those not the traditional programs. There's kids that resonate with that, but then there's some kids that don't want to participate in basketball or football or wrestling
right.
or whatever. And I get
right.
that, but here's something maybe that they want to do and get them involved in the school program. Same with bass fishing. I think a great idea. And the Scholastic Bowl is another one. Now the IHSA, you know, I still call it recent history because I'm an old fogey too, but I was looking at the IHSA record. So they started the state tournament series, I think in 1986, 87. So, you know, they're approaching 40 years on that. So you have to be mm-hmm. pleased that they're on board, you know, providing
yeah.
you can be a state champ in Scholastic Bowl in Illinois.
Yeah, it originally, when I showed up in Illinois in 1979, they had Masonic. The Masonics, the Illinois Masonics, took it under their wing, and they pushed it really hard. And there was no IHSA participation whatsoever. And so it was really difficult to get tournaments because you had to write your own questions or you had committees writing questions. And it was a real pain in the neck to get a tournament done. So, well, that's one of the things I did was I started making my own tournaments. And then our conference would get involved in it. So we had conference meets before there was even IHSA meets, which was really progressive for the area that I was at. But when the IHSA took it over, I mean, it just took off. I mean, I don't remember hardly any parents ever going to Masonic meets. But when the IHSA took it over, the word got out that this is going to be a high school event, and everybody thinks the IHSA is the crown jewel of high school athletics and activities, and they are right. That's when the notice took on, and that's, I think, when the programs really started to make a difference. And then again, like I said, the internet just completely changed the training for Scholastic Bowl.
All right. So, you've been around it for 40 years. So, like when I say, well, what's the biggest change in high school basketball in 40 years? Well, they'll say the 3-point shot, or, you know, they went to the mm-hmm. 4-class system from the 2-class system, or they went from the mm-hmm. 1-class system to the 2-class system. So what's been the biggest change like in Scholastic Bowl in 40 years that you've seen?
Well, I think for Scholastic Bowl, the biggest change has been some companies have started taking over the question writing, and so it makes it accessible for tournaments, local tournaments, to be put on. They are responsive to every state's needs for the types of questions they want. Not every state has Scholastic Bowl. Iowa does not have it, although they're trying real hard to get it right now. And I don't know exactly how many states have it. I know some do, some don't. I know Georgia has it, and they have teams down there that do very, very well in national tournaments. But these companies allow us now to be able to buy the questions from them, and that allows us then to be able to host more tournaments, so we're able to play more. Now, I will tell you, COVID has pretty much cut into it. I mean, it took I remember when I got my 600th win, I had a kid, all-stater by the name of Colin Vaughn, who was, that was the senior year that I won my 600th game, and it took a long time to get to number 700. And that's because it just got eaten into. The one year when we really shut down, they didn't even finish the state tournament. They just had regionals and that was it. And then the next year, the only teams that we were allowed to play against were our own conference. And then they didn't have the state tournament again. So it hurt because they were hurting because they couldn't do it. And the companies now are able to, are bouncing back, and I just hosted my, what I call the Riverdale Early Season Tournament, or the REST Tournament, for the first time in 3 years, because the availability of the questions, that they just stopped making them completely because they didn't predict, they didn't want to pay people to make questions for tournaments that weren't going to exist. They started it up this year again, and it was just like a breath of fresh air being able to come back and do that. But we still have to keep our distances. We still have to keep our masks on. We still have to be careful. But everybody is really, really happy that it's back.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, and I know you can attest to this, you know, there's a lot of times where you will hear people that are critical of youth today, and they'll say, these kids today, whatever, and their cell phones or whatever. But I know mm-hmm. you can testify and attest to this. And I'm thankful that I'm around youth, you know, and what I see, and whether it's the arts, you know, I see kids perform in music or art, you know, and then, you know, from your perspective, Scholastic Bowl, you know, you've done this, and you see the talent, mm-hmm. you know, in these small schools locally, and you say, man, I'm so thankful that I'm around this because this keeps me young, and do people realize we're so fortunate to be around this talent? I can get an amen to that. You can preach to that, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I had practice tonight, and they're pretty excited right now. Both the JV and the varsity are undefeated at the conference after 2 weeks, and it's a different vibe. They are just one of the things that I like about being around these kids, outside the fact that they enjoy what they do, is the fact that they have learned what it takes to be better. They have conversations, and I don't mean just dull conversations. I mean, they have, what's the best word? Peripheral conversations. In other words, they get a topic and it reminds them of something else, and they'll bring that up and it reminds them of something else. And sometimes it's kind of hard to keep focus in the practice, but I don't like to put too much of a rein on, because these kids are excited because they're pushing themselves in all different directions, and they're having fun doing it. They're making jokes about it. They're developing more than one way to look at something, and the creativity and the curiosity and the intelligence that is being developed in these kids, it's just, like you said, it makes you feel fresh. This is just a fun conversation. And then when the volcano starts erupting, everybody's going nuts. It's okay. We got to stop right now. We got to go on to the next question or whatever it is we're doing. One of the other things I really enjoy doing is I shouldn't say kids, because I sound like I really am a get off my lawn kind of guy, but they don't read like they used to be honest with you. Not that they read much anyway, but I remember the high school I went to, I wasn't that much of a reader, but I was surrounded by a lot of people who read constantly. It's very rare to find that now. There's a few that will, but the ones that do don't do Scholastic Bowl that much. And so what I have to do is find a way to get them to learn about literature without having to sit down for 12, 18, 20 hours and read a book. And it's really inefficient in that way anyway. So we find movie versions of plays, of novels, of whatever, and we'll spend time in practice watching a portion of it. And so they get a flavor for the characters. In fact, right now we're watching a movie version, which people will probably have never heard of, called of a Henrik Ibsen play called An Enemy of the People. And An Enemy of the People is an amazing play about a man, a scientist, who finds out that the local community's water system that they use for spas that brings in people from all around the area and spend a lot of money in town, that the water is poisoned by a factory that's dumping its crap into the water. Very relevant to what's going on now. And of course, when he brings this up, the townspeople goes crazy. They want him thrown out of the town, blah, blah, blah. And Ibsen had his finger on the pulse of humanity like you've never seen. You could have written this in 2019 with what was going on then and be just as relevant as it was in 1883 when he wrote this thing. And the kids are watching this. And a lot of times, like, we'll watch a classic, like an old Coward play or something, and they're having fun, they're enjoying the movie, and they're making conversations. Not one person is saying anything. They are totally into this movie. And I'm going, this is what makes me happy. That, yes, they know how to learn, they know how to interact, but then when they see something really important, they stick with it. And I guarantee, this is like the same feeling I had when they watched Catch 22 or by Joseph Heller, or they watched Kurt Vonnegut's Slaughterhouse-Five. When those questions come up, we nail them all. Because why? They sat there dumbfounded by the amazing context of the material in there. And those kids will watch it. Will they sit there and read the book? Definitely not Catch 22. Possibly Kurt Vonnegut's book, because it's short and it's easy to read. But this teaches them literature from a different perspective. And this makes all the difference in the world. And they've become much, much, much better at literature now than I ever had before.
All right. We're winding down our conversation. Appreciate the insight from Jim Campbell, Scholastic Bowl coach. He lives in Joy, longtime teacher at Riverdale, and again, reaching 700 wins in his Scholastic Bowl coaching career earlier this week. I was looking through your social media a little bit, Coach, and the one thing I dig is there are a couple pictures where the kids, I guess you can call it the Scholastic Bowl uniform. I love the black kind of dress shirt look, and then the gold Riverdale Rams Scholastic Bowl tie, man. I'm digging that. What about that?
Okay, so when I first got there, they wore just Masonic shirts, and that was it. And it was okay. I mean, it was the black and gold is a good combination of colors. I like black and red more, but black and gold can be pretty striking. But I always thought something was missing. So one year I said, look, let's just try this. Let's just go ahead and start wearing just black shirts, and I'll go buy a whole bunch of ties, and I'll get the logo stitched into it. And I tell you what, the kids not only like it, the other teams like it. And they really, I had a number of coaches going, wow, that's a great idea. We should do it too. And if you go to the state tournament down in Peoria, you'll see all kinds of variations of creative ideas for uniforms. There's one school in Maine East, I think, wears Hawaiian shirts, and they're all identical. I don't know if the school colors. I don't know the school colors. I'll be amazed if it were. But that was their version. St. Bede, they wear hockey jerseys, Bruin hockey jerseys. and the kids, our kids will talk about that. Oh, that's the hockey jersey team. Yeah, that's them. And of course, they're good because they're St. Bede. So it just adds an extra level of competition to the forefront. So we got the snazzy, cool looking tie and everything, and they got the hockey thing, and it's a good contrast between the two teams beyond the competition. It's the look of style that they compete with.
All right, well, hey man, I really wanted to get you on the air and congratulate you. Awesome, man. 700
wins. Thank you very much, Jim.
Keep up the good work, and you're still gonna do what he said through 2025, even though you're gonna have some long bus rides still. But again, when you're around youth and the youth love what they do, and it's a lot of it's because of you, keeps you young. It keeps you young on that bus when you go over those railroad tracks and those bumpy roads in Western Illinois. So keep it up. And again, congratulations, sir.
I appreciate that, Jim. Thanks for calling.
All right. Again, Jim Campbell, Riverdale Rams Scholastic Bowl coach, reaching 700 wins this week. Of course, a Mercer County resident living in Joy, Illinois. More on WRMJ in a moment.